Hello, everybody. Before we jump into today's episode, we have two sponsors we want to say thank you to for supporting this show. The first one is Routine. You guys have heard me talk about Routine, honestly, back from the early days of the podcast, and it's still a product I use every single morning. They have a prompt for me here. I'm going to do a little impromptu on this ad read today because, honestly, this is a product that I truly believe in, and so I'm just going to tell you guys exactly what I think and why. First and foremost, this is a stat that they shared, but when you sleep, you lose between a pound and a half of water. And most of that's just sweating while you sleep. I used to not know if that was actually true, to be honest. I felt like a pound to a pound and a half of water seemed like quite a bit while I slept. But the one thing I did constantly pay attention to when I started using Routine was just the fact that before using Routine, I always felt a little dehydrated in the morning. And I'm one of those people that when I get up really early usually. I work out. One of the first things I do is some form of fitness. It's just like what I do before everyone's awake. And so it's very easy for me to grab a coffee, you know, pre-workout, an energy drink, something with caffeine in it, and just go. When I am good about using Routine first, I basically come in these little single serve packets. They contain half an organic lemon, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, Himalayan sea salt, all six essential electrolytes, and they have no sugar in them at all. A lot of hydration products are going to have sugar. So one of the things about routine that I love is that there's no sugar in there. So when I am good about doing this consistently, I will take one of those single serve packets, I'll throw it in my mixer bottle. And whether I also put in a pre-workout or something with caffeine, or I just drink that separately, I try to drink that first. And the days I do that, I do genuinely feel hydrated and just have a different form of clarity all morning. A lot of people have tried to make their own homemade versions of Routine, right? You see people they take a shot of the apple cider vinegar, and they put a little sea salt, a little lemon in a drink. This is essentially that, but in a product that you can take with you on the go, have it ready for you first thing in the morning. I know me personally, when I'm groggy rolling out of bed, the last thing I want to do is, you know, squeeze a lemon, cut lemons up, go get the apple cider vinegar, find my sea salt. I just rip this packet open, throw it in my water, drink it, and it's good to go. You can try yours today. If you haven't tried it yet and you've been listening to this podcast for years, just try the damn Routine. Give it a shot. You can use code ShaneWhite30 and get 30% off your first order. So you get 30% off by using code ShaneWhite30 and go to yourroutine.com. To make it even easier, I've added the link to yourroutine.com in the show notes. So just click on the show notes for this episode, click on the link to yourroutine.com, and don't forget to use code ShaneWhite30. All right, guys, today's episode is also brought to you by NeuroRoast. Again, I'm going to go a little off script here. NeuroRoast is a product that I also came across during this year of 2023. They are a coffee brand, coffee company that's helping you optimize your brain function and overall well-being. This is another product that, to be honest with you, when I first started working with it, I was a little on the fence. I was like, do I really want to have mushrooms in my coffee? Well, folks, I will tell you, when I use NeuroRoast, one of the things that has stood out to me the most is I'll back up. People that know me know that I have way too much caffeine, typically. One of the things this year I've done a good job of is cutting out alcohol. Not completely, but predominantly, I don't touch a lot of alcohol anymore. What I think I've actually done the other way, though, is added a lot more caffeine. So I do definitely drink too much caffeine. That's something I need to work on next year, is to try to minimize how much of that. But NeuroRoast is something that has actually helped me. Because of the way they've formulated their coffee, like unlike regular coffee, which is, you know, still something I consume, but NeuroRoast specifically doesn't cause jitters or crashes. Mushroom coffee provides more balance and sustained energy, allowing you to stay focused and productive throughout the day. So the times I do use NeuroRoast, I'll be honest, I just don't feel that jittery, like, ugh, I'm jumping out of my chair or standing here at my desk, jumping around feeling. So give NeuroRoast a try. They have some really good flavors. I'll be honest too, the two guys that started NeuroRoast are just really good dudes based out of New York, and they're hustling, and hopefully they can get some people to try NeuroRoast this holiday season by listening to this podcast. So for you folks who've been on the fence, I'm telling you, it tastes delicious. They've done a fantastic job of making this coffee not only be functional, but taste fantastic. And if you want to try NeuroRoast, you can use code ShaneWhite. So it's super simple, just ShaneWhite at checkout. you'll also get 30% off. So if you go to neuroroast.com, and once again, I have added that to the show notes. So just click into the show notes while you're listening to this episode. You can click on NeuroRoast link directly. Don't forget to use code just Shane White, and you'll get 30% off your order. Hope you guys love both these products. I'm trying to not only bring you guys products that I use, but that I believe in on the podcast. I'm not taking ad reads for any brands that I don't really believe in. So anyway, hope you guys love both those products, yourroutine.com and neuroroast.com. I've added those links to the show notes. I hope you guys love it. And I got an awesome guest coming up right after this. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Shane White Show. I am pumped today to have Isla Byrne from Parch on the show. Isla, welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come on.
Absolutely. Hey, Shane. Great to be here.
I appreciate you taking the time. Would you mind, for everyone listening who doesn't know who you are and doesn't know what Parch is, just to give a little bit of an intro to you and the brand?
Absolutely. So Parch is a relatively new player in the non-alcoholic beverage space, also a relatively new category of its own, but Parch is a range of non-alcoholic agave cocktails made with desert botanicals and finished with adaptogens. Myself, my background is steeped in alcohol, pretty much 20 years of experience across wine, beer, and the biggest spirit company in the world, working in the US and Europe. Even Asia before that, and Australia, building new brands, really tapping into consumer insights and trying to find out what's going on with drink culture and social culture. So that's kind of my quick background.
Awesome. And what brought you to Parch?
Two things brought me to Parch. One, I was kind of tapped out of the corporate world and was frustrated that I was creating all these beautiful brands that really resonated with consumers, but we wanted to build them in a different way. And with corporations, there's really one way to do things. And I really wanted to try and create new brands for people, like that next generation of drinks, not just making iterations of the same categories that have been out there for so long. So I had left the big corporate world and was consulting on my own. And that was really fun. I got to meet and experiment and try a lot of new things. And one of those clients was an ex-colleague who had been leading the biggest agave portfolio in the US, a brand many folks might have heard of, Don Julio.
Oh, yeah.
So was really creating this next wave, or the first wave of agave influence. And he was hit with a tragic diagnosis of cancer, specifically throat cancer. He immediately sought out treatment and recovery, and during that process immediately cut out alcohol. 2 years in treatment, recovered fantastically, and never went back to drinking alcohol. So when he came to me, he had left his career, again, at like a 20-year AlcBev career, was looking for his next kind of plan. And he came to me with a, you know, can you help me build a brand that's NA, non-alc? It was my third kind of client in that space. This one started with a complete white space. And for me, when I was consulting, or when I do consult, it's like really understanding what territories and creative spaces we want to concept in. So we worked together for about 4 months, creating a range of different concepts. And Parch became the one that we both fell in love with. And we worked really well together. And we ended up launching it, as you see it kind of today in market.
Very cool. I had no idea that was the background of you guys both coming to Parch. I had heard a little bit about your co-founder story, and it's such an interesting leapfrog to have you on here, because this is something I've been talking about on the podcast quite a bit over the last, you know, year and some change. I wouldn't say I'm completely sober, but I've definitely taken a really big step back ever since my wife gave birth to our first son. It was like a quick reality check for me of, man, when you're up all night, and you want to be the best version of, you know, the dad you can be, like, alcohol for me personally, just, I can always tell I'm a little bit worse than I should be when I drink, even if it's a couple glasses here or there. So it's interesting to hear you and your co-founder. I mean, to be honest, I don't think I've heard a lot of folks from the alcohol industry jump to the like non-alc side. That's like a pretty big leap, in my opinion. And at a time when it seems like non-alc, it's funny, the last to Expo West, it definitely, I felt like non-alc 2 years ago was a really, really big push. This year, I still felt like it was, maybe not quite as much, but still a big push. So for you, that must have just been, there must have been a big jump, right? Having a career in alcohol and then going to non-alcohol, because we'll dive into it, but what was that like for you? Just, that's just almost feels like a night and day switch.
A little bit, though. Actually, when I was, my role at the big ALK company was super fun, and I got to do a lot of really creative things. But part of that was looking at what does the next decade look like for social drinking. And I was very into the no and low space for the last decade. So again, prior to leaving, I was creating their global, well, first of all, their US strategy, and then their global strategy for what no, the non-alcoholic and lower than traditional alcohol, depending on beer, wine, and spirits, because they have different thresholds, obviously, what that would look like. And so, again, I talk to consumers all the time. I look at trends. That's my whole background. So I was talking to consumers and bartenders and buyers, and I could see this on the horizon. So for me, I've been actually dabbling in this space for about a decade. I've created other brands in this space, some offshoots of big brands you'll see out there, some of the famous gins and whiskeys that have zero proof. You know, I was involved in those, but it was never what I wanted to drink. I also never really was actively sober curious. So with Parch, when I was given this kind of task, it was great. It was a real push for me to create something that I actually would voluntarily want to consume. So I was actively drinking alcohol very regularly, still that post-pandemic kind of uptick in alcohol consumption, regular bottle of wine between me and my husband, maybe a pre-dinner mezcal cocktail, loved going to cocktail bars, new restaurants on the weekends, but wasn't really questioning my overall consumption. And when I made Parch, the bar for me was really high because I tasted all those non-alcs kind of out there, and I didn't think any of them were for me or didn't really marry up to that same standard as an alcoholic cocktail. And I don't want to make products, well, in this space, I was given, you know, a lot of permission, but I wanted to make a product, I guess, that I could feel as proud of bringing to a friend's house as a bottle of mezcal, or in addition to that bottle of mezcal. And I'd say a lot of my friends, and I live in Brooklyn, quite cliched at this stage, everyone's drinking tequila or tequila and mezcal, agave-based spirit. So I wanted to be able to bring these to a traditionally, again, very tropey, but like straight white men who loved their craft agave spirits. That was quite a few of my friends, and they were really deep in that spirit snobbery. And I wanted to just kind of throw something in the mix and see if they'd be accepting of it when they were never questioning their alcohol consumption and would never touch a mocktail. And I think we actually, when I did early testing, the positive response from those consumers, I was like, wow, there's something really here that's much bigger than just sober people. And that was the bar that I was really excited to kind of hit.
Yeah, no, you guys definitely, I feel like, hit it right at the time when this is really kind of taken a leap upward. It's funny, and I'm sure, I'd be curious to know if you've been in the weeds of this. I've just been watching from the outside. If you feel like this is relative or if this is accurate, I feel like non-alc right now has these two paths. One is brands that are claiming they're non-alc, but they're really just an alternative product. And they're trying to basically solve you're at a party or you're at a bar. You normally have a cocktail or a beer or a glass of wine, and instead just have this. And it's got X, Y, and Z in it. There's quite a few brands I feel like play that space. And then there's, you know, the Athletic Brewings and brands like that, where they're trying to just take a product in a use case and take the alcohol out of it, but still make it taste like the alternative. Where would you say Parch fits in that spectrum from being, you know, one extreme to the other? Is it kind of towards the taste like alcohol and you feel like you're swapping this in for a cocktail?
It's kind of a gray area, I would say. I mean, we're not a de-alcoholized tequila, and we're not trying to present you with a tequila alternative. We do act and use semiotics and flavors that are most familiar to those folks who love the agave spirit space, and that is absolutely intentional. We are built and born in the Sonoran Desert, which is this unique ecosystem that traverses the southwestern US and northern Mexico. And from there, being based in Tucson, Arizona, we have access to a plethora of incredible plants and botanicals and flavors that really marry that kind of Mexican American heritage, culture, and food scene that we see today. So it's kind of that's why we lead with flavor and taste first. But we want to give some people something different, something that's not traditional. I really passionately believe in this space. If you're taking alcohol out, you have to give people something more back. And with that, it's a combination of things for us. It is premium, superior ingredients that you don't get in many alcoholic cocktails. It's functionals like adaptogens, and we work with a herbalist to get the best combination of those. We use American ginseng, L-theanine from green tea, and ashwagandha, and that's 185 milligrams per can. And then superior design, so it feels like something that you're proud to hold. It doesn't feel like a water or a juice. But really, complex taste is the thing that sets us apart. It's what we hear all the time. It's that high bar that I mentioned. It should kind of evolve and coat your mouth and take on different flavors as you sip it and you drink it over ice. So complexity is key to us.
I'm glancing on my other screen here just at your guys' LinkedIn, and it's something I hadn't really thought about before you just said that. It's so true. Like the actual can itself, I can envision holding it, and it doesn't feel like you're drinking some totally out in left field drink instead of a cocktail. Like it does give you the vibe of having a cocktail in your hand for sure.
Yeah, this category and the part that I come to this brand with is about aggressive inclusivity. And I feel very driven by a social mission on ensuring that people are not stigmatized by their consumer choices and their personal choices. And that's where we started with this. This category was really what resonated most with me and the problem to solve, which is always, with a brand, what problem are we solving out there? Because people felt, and this came from my partner's personal journey as well, socially excluded, and exclusion is something I absolutely hate to my core. So, to have something that really feels, and I've stolen this from someone, I can't remember who said it first, but like instead of people saying, "Oh, why are you not drinking?" which is a classic question people who choose not to drink always get, it's, "What are you drinking?" And so we wanted a can, a design, and a brand that would really pique people's interest and would say, "Oh, you got to try this. This is like a new thing." And the fact that it's non-alc is a little bit down the decision. And the hierarchy. It's like, oh, it just tastes really good. And it's from, the Southwest and it looks cool. And then you get into it, spiced piñarita. Oh yeah, and it doesn't have alcohol. Because we want to just expand the conversation that just because you're socializing post 6 p.m. with other adults doesn't mean that the only thing you drink is alcohol.
That's a really interesting point, Isla, that I hadn't thought about. It's kind of like reverse engineering that problem that I do think a lot of people who would like to start testing and trying non-alc options and maybe foregoing alcohol in the evening, they default to just, oh, sure, I'll have whatever, you're offering because I don't want to be the weirdo at the party type of mentality, right? Like, and I've definitely,
Absolutely.
yeah. Yeah, and
We
this
don't
is really
want
cool. I like that.
we don't want to make it uncomfortable for people. And so I've witnessed that so many times with a bartender, a waiter, a guest in a party, and they, you can see they're looking at the menu and they don't know what to choose, and they have a personal reason for whatever it is. And like you said, parenting, there's so many reasons. And also, no one should have to justify their choices. So we don't have to have a reason. It's just because I like the taste of it, or it just looks good, which is often why people choose drinks. But we're still in that first phase of justifying our choices. And that really bothers me. So I
No,
want to try
I
and
definitely
challenge
understand your
that.
perspective. No, it is funny. Me and my wife talk about this all the time. She loves her wine. Like that's like her thing. And in one of the things I've been trying to do this year is just pay. I've always paid attention to my health, but I wear like the Whoop and I do a lot of, I've started doing like blood work for the first time. And it's been really eye-opening. Like some of the, even the stats, I think of myself as a pretty healthy person and, exercise regularly, eat well, all the hot, I'm doing all that stuff. And the one thing that's always stood out is like I do a good job, Sunday through Friday. And then it was always like Friday night, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday of just beating yourself up, drinking a lot and thinking that, I'm young and I can just be like doing really good for 5 days and then not take care of myself for two almost, and I'll be fine. And as I get older, I'm starting to realize it's funny. I do think alcohol and where you guys are positioned is really cool because I think alcohol is one of those things where a lot of people, they love it so much and it never really has gone through their mind why they should not have a drink, that we put it in this category that it's not the same as other things that are hurting us. Like where
Totally.
everyone's like, well, alcohol can't be the issue that I'm dealing with, whether it's weight loss or, mental clarity or whatever it
Yeah.
is. And I tell this to my wife all the time. I'm like, I think if we fast forward 10, 15, 20 years, I'd be shocked if alcohol is not considered in the same category as like smoking cigarettes are now, where people still are obviously going to do it. And if they would love to do it, like good for them, but they at least know what they're doing to themselves. Where I feel like alcohol is still in this it's in this weird spot where you get into it. A lot of people get into it in college, or they move to a big city and they go out, and that's the scene. And it takes them later in life when things start changing for them to be like, wait, why do I drink every Friday, Saturday? Mm-hmm. Like, because I even think back, and I think about it all the time, how I just kind of went to college and that was what we all did. And I don't think I ever like stopped to think about it until I got to, you know, 30. So you guys are in a cool spot, because if you can be in places where alcohol, and I'm sure this is a huge, and this is something I want to jump into. I mean, if Parch can be on that menu, that's the biggest struggle I have today, even as someone who is always searching for other options, is there's just still not a ton of options at most places that I go to. And so I think you guys could fit into a really interesting place where, I'm sure that's a big goal of yours, but if you can start to be in more places where, you know, I would love to see you guys like on the menu, but as a non-alcoholic option, or just whatever you want to call it on the menu, to be able to still be at events, be at restaurants, be at bars even, and have your product. I'm sure that's a goal.
That's definitely a goal. That's a goal for this year, actually. I mean, part of the way to do that is to start, and we've just signed with 3 Bev Alc distributors, but the market in the US is, thank you, it is really controlled through the distributor, even though what we love about this category is it defies the traditional free tier system, because we can ship across the country. And so within our first 6 months, we were shipping to all 50 states, which you could never do with alcohol. Wow. We could at all these physical in-person events and give away samples. You could never do that with alcohol. And that's been critical for growing our brand. And the other spaces, you know, third spaces, whatever they look like, whether it's a beach disco, whether it's a knitting circle, a book club in someone's like rooftop, there's so many places we can be without a liquor license. At the same time, we have.
Nope. Yeah, I can hear you now. Your audio cut out for a second, but you're back.
I'm back. We still have to play nicely with the liquor distributors. So that will be the big thing that will help us get on those menus. They control that menu, and you know, Athletic has done a great job of that. But what I really love to see, and I use this analogy, or not even analogy, this actual story a lot, of like when I was a kid, or in my youth, a legal drinking age in Ireland is 18. So when I was 18.
Oh, you're Irish. Nice. I'm Irish.
Where are you from? Shade, yeah, yeah, I know.
My grandmother's, the Irish one in the family, is O'Hara. So it's, she's very Irish.
That is very, very Maureen O'Hara. Very Irish.
Yeah.
I'm from Dublin. Yeah. Born and bred.
Okay.
Left after college. But, you know, what we did, what we're socializing, was go to the pub and drink alcohol. The activity was drinking, the place you went was the pub. Now, what I really love is there's so many activities. There's a plethora of places and spaces and creative things we can do, even virtual things we can do. And the activity is, you know, still connecting with people, but whether it's cannabis, whether it's over food, whether it's tea culture, coffee, it doesn't have to be the activity of drinking alcohol. And that's the breadth. So yes, getting on menus is really important in those spaces that still conform, and they are the majority, to that drink culture. But it's beyond that that really excites me. And that's still yet to be known, because Third Space Coffee, that whole like emergence of Starbucks as a place that was between work and home, created an entirely new construct of hanging out. And I think that will come as a new space that's not a pub or a bar. And we'll have other options that aren't just alcohol.
Got it. Okay. So you envision there could be some places that are kind of like a cross between a bar and a Starbucks. It's like people know they're going there to not necessarily drink, but like alcohol, but they're going there to enjoy some sort of beverage and hang out.
Yeah, but even more extreme, we're doing this right now. So we have a collaboration with Daybreaker, which is social parties on the beach in the morning. So an alternative to the gym. So you turn up for yoga and a, like really amazing 2 hours of partying sober in the morning. And we're doing this other cold plunge hot sauna social event that's emerging. They're from Canada, other ship, and they're expanding in the US. And that's, again, a social sauna in the evening where it's not about alcohol, but it's about, you know, wellness, but connection. So just all these permutations of how we can connect in different ways that aren't just in a what used to be a smoky, dark pub with beer. You know,
it's so true. It's changing. That's a very good point. Do you guys feel like you are getting any pushback from the alcohol industry? I always wonder when things like there's only so much shelf space, for example. So as more and more non-alc players, like it's funny, I'm out of Chicago, and okay. just like a regional grocery store called Jewel Osco, which is down the street yeah. from me. I always just pay attention to what's on the shelf. And it's been funny how definitely during COVID, I mean, it was just any and all alcohol brands, every SKU they possibly had, I felt like filled these two aisles mm-hmm. so much to the point that they actually took out some aisles and expanded the alcohol aisles. Like they made it an extra aisle here in Chicago. And wow. then in the last 12 months, a whole stretch of aisle, what used to be like a 6-foot by 6-foot part of the set was non-alcoholic. They've now included probably like a 4-foot wide set in the refrigerated section. So they've actually taken the alcoholic products out, and then they've given almost an entire aisle of non-alcoholic options, like in the last couple mm-hmm. months, which is really crazy. Like I started to stop and like pay attention to it, where they expanded mm-hmm. the whole alcohol set, inclusive of non-alc. And then within that, they've actually started to push out alcohol brands to put non-alc in there. And so it's just so curious to me, because you used to be in the alc space. I can't imagine that it's like, they're probably going to try to fight back to some degree, but it might just be, I guess, like the push and pull of what consumers want. And I just find it very interesting as a consumer and trying to pay attention to the space.
It is such a quick and rapid change. I mean, to see stores redesign so quickly, and we're in these conversations with whether it's Whole Foods or Sprouts or Walmart or whoever, redesigning stores, the analogy I think of most closely is oat milk and how that changed over like a decade ago and what it looks like today. We're actually, again, I'm Irish, I drink cow's milk and cow cheese and cow what else? Yogurt, all that stuff.
Yeah,
but
right.
it is a minority now, because I then, yeah. you know, I see the shelf set. I'm like, oh, the exciting stuff's happening in the oat milk category. I should really try and expand my perspective. But yeah, I mean, they've taken over so much cooler space and added coolers. You'd be pressed to see anyone saying they want to increase their alcohol consumption, though I know some celebrities said that recently, and I was like, that's like the lamest thing to ever say.
They're trying to go the whole other route. They're like, like
really?
So okay. funny.
But most people who come across our brand and folks, like I just chatted to this awesome guy at a hotel in Vegas who works at the hotel as well. And he's like, you know, I spent 20 years partying. I've tried it all. I've done it all. You know, this is exciting for me because it's new. And like, there's that whole group of consumers who just are curious about taste. And I kind of was like, oh, that's so interesting. I mean, I kind of come from that world. And I know a lot of industry folk who are, I mean, we have sober bartenders. We have just mindful moderating bartenders. We have sure. Loads of, you know, chefs, musicians. They've done it all. You know, they've tried every alcohol and extreme alcohol version of it. And it's only so many bourbons that you need on a shelf. You know, the right. shelves are heaving with a million vodkas and whiskeys. And so part of it's new news and new and exciting. And when they taste good, then it's like, oh, that's the questioning. For me, it's, I didn't come into this questioning, do I need to be sober? That wasn't something mm-hmm. I needed. It's more I'm just curious about taste and experiences. So if something looks good and sounds like it has nice ingredients in a bar, alcoholic or not, I'll try it. Same with plant-based eating. I find it very similar, which is I'm not a vegetarian, I'm not vegan, but if the dish sounds delicious, then I might choose that over the meat. Knowing as well, the meat carbon footprint is not great, knowing that alcohol is not great for our bodies, I'll make a couple of those decisions, you know, in your mind. But as for your original question on how is the alc industry reacting, I think it's a couple of things I see. One is, I saw it today in newsletters that I get all the time, and it was, you know, real pushback from some folks who were like, who's influencing the WHO to come out against alcohol? And you're like, science? Yeah. Doctors, medicine, yeah. Medical studies is telling you that drinking alcohol at the levels we are can cause cancer, liver damage, and a whole plethora of societal issues. So science is telling us that alcohol is not healthy. Yes, we make a lot of money off it. And so then you get to the conversation, which we use as well in bars. You're not losing, right? If you're selling or offering free water to someone, you're not making money on that. But if you want to sell a delicious complex beverage at the same price, and we see that everywhere from Chicago mm-hmm. to LA to Austin, line price to an alcoholic beverage, people will choose it. They'll also stay in your bar for longer, and they might bring friends to your bar who felt excluded before, and they might stay for another round because they're driving home and now they can have that beverage and not be over the limit. So there's so many ways to look at it from an economic perspective that I think big alcohol is now taking it seriously. It's not just a fad. And instead of feeling threatened, because again, the data doesn't lie, 50% of UK eligible drinking Gen Z are choosing to cut back.
Yeah,
you got to embrace
I've
it
seen that.
And give them alternatives.
Well, it's interesting to me. Two things. One, the bars in the United States, at least, I don't, and I'm not close enough to this, so you can tell me if this is already happening. I don't understand why, even on like college campuses, for example, I don't know mm-hmm. why they wouldn't want to have a few non-alcoholic options, because in my opinion, it just, again, to your point, it opens up the potential for more people to try more things. If the hesitation is just you want people to drink, you think they'll spend more money, maybe that is fueling some of it. But I would think just with where the trends are going, you just open the door for more people to purchase more things. And to your point, if the economics make sense, then boom, double whammy. I think then the other piece of that I wanted to mention, which is so interesting, is it seems like this space, there's so many brands and products that are trying to run into it because they see a huge opportunity. You guys, I'll be honest, I think your packaging specifically around like non-alcoholic cocktails in a can, I think it looks badass. And it, like I said, it does remind me of having a cocktail. And so it fits that perfectly. Along with the grocery store conversation that I was just bringing up, it's funny how I'm seeing the Guinnesses and some other mm-hmm. big beer brands specifically launch their own non-alc mm-hmm. kind of like side products. The mm-hmm. first one that I've tried recently that I was actually shocked that even it tasted decent, because I do think you're right. I think taste has become something that most people that I mention non-alc to, the first thing they say is, oh, they taste like shit. So I'm not going to, mm-hmm. like, why would I want the Guinness Zero when it tastes worse than a regular Guinness, and I'm not that yes. big into not drinking anyway. The yes. one I tried the other day that was actually pretty damn good was Blue Moon just came out with one.
Oh yeah, it is.
Have you tried that one?
I have not yet.
I was shocked. My wife's pregnant again, so she's doing the non-alc thing too, and we mm-hmm. both had one the other night, and I was like, oh wow, this actually tastes like a Blue Moon. Like, I was shocked. It tastes pretty damn close. But what I think is interesting, my story and my background to getting into CPG was I worked at RX Bar before they sold to Kellogg. So that was kind of like where I got into the CPG space. And back then in 2017, at that time, all the big CPG food brands, they were really looking at the protein bar space. And obviously there were quite a few acquisitions over the next couple years. For ALK, I could totally see that being, I'm kind of like leading you to water here, but I could totally see this being such a huge play, because you're going to have the, you know, Blue Moons, the Guinnesses, they're going to try to launch a like non-alc version of something they already have, which mm-hmm. sure, if you love Guinness but you don't want to drink anymore, maybe that's a great fit. But I would argue, I think a lot of people, the taste thing that you're hitting on is going to be a struggle, because I don't think necessarily someone who loves Guinness is going to necessarily love the zero calorie version, maybe if it's close, but I would assume most people want the alcohol in there too that are loving a Guinness. So for you guys, I the question, I guess the kind of long-winded question here, Isla, is do you feel like there's a huge opportunity for non-alc brands right now? Because I don't think the big alc brands are necessarily figuring out the non-alc space. And it seems like brands like you that are really grassroots trying to build this from the ground up really become a part of your consumer's lifestyle, all the things you just talked about with Daybreaker and being a part of events and building the community. It seems like all these big alc brands would love to just buy some of you guys up over time, because it just makes so much more sense. You're going to hit a community that they have not been able to tap into.
Well, that's the plan. No, I mean,
you're like, duh.
In all seriousness, you know, there's always these waves of innovation, and everyone is jumping in here. And I definitely have some very strong thoughts on the low bar to this category means that anyone from a water brand to a soda can just suddenly call themselves non-alc. So White Claw, I'm like, you're just sparkling water then. No, that's
yeah,
a huge opportunity,
because right.
Liquid Death is also just water. And so you want to bring a more youthful, edgy brand instead of, you know, something that's all virtuous and healthy. So I get it in terms of
sure.
the water market, that's great, but you're not a cocktail. Mm-hmm. So let's just, and I'm working with Marcus Salazar, who created ANBA, the Adult Non-Alcoholic Association. He's
oh, yeah,
very
yeah.
clear on what is and what is not, you know, an adult non-alc beverage. And I really like that, because so many people want to call them suddenly a mocktail, and they've just added the same essence of lime into one that calls themselves a margarita and the other one's lime flavored water. So it has to be superior. That's why we use the word cocktail, and we want to own cocktail. And a cocktail is a combination of delicious flavors. We think they're more sophisticated tastes. And we do target adults. And I spoke already about kind of our ethos in the Sonoran Desert, but a lot of them are very simple. So we want to provide consumers something that isn't just anyone can make it off the shelf. That's the
yeah.
whole point of making a brand that's distinctive. And I'm very aware of the competition, and there's some that I really love, and I think they're doing a great job, whether they kind of channel the South of France or they channel like some botanical hedonism or something. Like when you've got a brand and you're very clear about what you offer, then it does make it harder for people to copy you. So one, I think all the alt brands will try and do their thing and, you know, either make, which they already have, Tanqueray, Tanqueray Zero, Guinness, Guinness Zero. And I have heard the Guinness Zero is just as tasty as
Oh,
Guinness
really?
Original.
Okay.
And it's an incredible dupe. Yeah. So I think that one, again, but thinking about your audience, so like you got to convince the Irish first. In Ireland, there is a zero tolerance policy on drink driving. So you've got a scattered country, especially outside of the city, urban population, where you don't have public transport, you drive, and there's zero tolerance on drink driving. So you've immediately got such a built-up audience, and then you've got this youth culture that again is cutting back. But it took a long time, a lot of R&D, but they really nailed it.
Wow. Okay, let's try
So
it.
we'll have those kind of dupes of stuff, but I think the space is for plenty of CPG companies, big companies, to look at having this as an add-on. So if you're a soda company, you're now looking at probiotic soda, so like the Olipop conversation. Great, but what's next? I want something in the evening. So that's like the healthier daytime soda, great. Or you want refreshment, which is like functional hydration, great. Or you want a CBD in your portfolio. But we are pretty flexible, so we can be attractive, hopefully, to many wine companies, beer companies, alc or non-alc, in the beverage space or better for you space as well.
Love that. No, I love that. That's awesome. There's a ton of opportunity. I know we're running out of time, and I have two quick questions that I always love to ask at the very end for everyone that comes on here, and the founders always have great responses. The first one would just be, you know, given your background, given your space and what you're building now, is there any book, podcast, just source of knowledge that you've listened to, read recently that pops up in your mind right away that you'd love to share with the audience today?
God, this is like the lamest answer, and you set it up for failure by saying everyone else
I know
delivers
it's probably
great
unfair.
answers. So I just don't have enough time to read. I know there's amazing books out there. Podcasts, I'm slowly trying to reinsert into my daily deliveries of cars around the city. But I've got to say, just constantly networking, meeting people,
I love that.
because
That's great.
of other founders. So I really try and catch up on physical face-to-face meetings wherever I can, and just understanding from them their perspective. So especially even in my category, meeting with what would be considered competitors, I love discussing and kind of like trying to build a category together. So
Oh,
meeting
that's
other
really cool.
founders.
That's a great one. That's honestly so the other end of the spectrum from what most people would think with this, you know, digital world right now. So that's great. The last one, Isla, from a founder's perspective, is just what tools do you use to plan out business goals, personal goals, and then ultimately get down to the nitty-gritty of the shit you're getting done today? Are you a pen and paper person? Are you an apps person? Like, what does Isla use to get shit done?
If you saw the other side of the screen, you'd see my messy wall, which is like not like one of those beautiful vision boards that people have. It's just a complete scattergram of neon post-its. So post-its are definitely one of my favorite tools. Because you never know when an idea is going to come, and I'm fortunate to not be short of ideas, and then I just rip them up because there's half of them, over half are terrible. And then I can kind of cluster them into different groups. My calendar is how I can demarcate like 30-minute, 15-minute segments to get a lot of stuff done that's all over the place. Slack for the team is fantastic, and I am a big fan of Slack. I hate too many apps, and I hate too many tools. So any of the Google sharing sheets stuff is all great, so we can work in real time. But again, picking up the phone call, just say picking up the phone to have an actual conversation saves so much time. And I'm kind of maybe I'm a little older than some founders who, you know, are maybe more tech savvy, but I just the amount of stuff that gets lost in translation through text and online, and I'm a straight shooter. I don't have time to waste. So let's pick up the phone and let's have a conversation and then move on.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, I love that. I feel like most founders that I talk to, they actually have a similar process as you. I say this on here all the time, but you know, I very few founders I've met actually have like this super nice, tech savvy, clean to-do list. So that's good. I think that's actually that feeds
My
into founders just
operations
having
person
shit
has that, which is
everywhere.
great. She
You need
needs
that.
it.
You need that. You need that. Very last question, the most important, Isla. People listening today that want to try Parch, what's the best place to find you guys as far as like to purchase? And then how can they follow along with your journey and the brand's journey?
I would say drinkparts.com or at drinkparts on Instagram. We're always doing giveaways and coupons and that kind of thing. For me, I love earning on LinkedIn. I respond to pretty much all messages I get. I love building, a network and a community on there. So please reach out.
Awesome. All right, Isla. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Shane.
It's a pleasure meeting
Wonderful. You too.